Welcome to Reading the Classics. My name is Amy Tepfer, and tonight we'll be reading a selection of fairy tales. First up is The Three Billy Goats Gruff. Once upon a time, there were three billy goats who were to go up to the hillside to make themselves fat, and the name of all three was Gruff. On the way up was a bridge over a cascading stream they had to cross, and under the bridge lived a great, ugly troll, with eyes as big as saucers and his nose as long as a poker. So first of all came the youngest billy goat Gruff to cross the bridge. Trip, trap, trip, trap went the bridge. "Who's that tripping over my bridge?" roared the troll.
"Oh, it's only I," the tiniest billy goat Gruff. "I am going up the hillside to make myself fat," and said the billy goat with such a small voice.
"Now I'm coming to gobble you up," said the troll.
"Oh no, pray don't eat me. I'm too little, that I am," said the billy goat. "Wait till the second billy goat Gruff comes. He's much bigger."
"Well, be off with you," said the troll. After a little while came the second billy goat Gruff to cross the bridge. Trip, trap, trip, trap, trip, trap went the bridge. "Who's that tripping over my bridge?" roared the troll. "Oh, it is the second billy goat Gruff, and I am going up the hillside to make myself fat," said the billy goat, who hadn't such a small voice. "Now I'm coming to gobble you up," said the troll. "Oh no, don't take me. Wait a little till the big billy goat Gruff comes," he said. "He's much bigger." "Very well, be off with you," said the troll. But just then came the big billy goat Gruff. Trip, trap, trip, trap, trip, trap, trip, trap went the bridge, for the billy goat was so heavy that the bridge creaked and groaned under him.
"Who's that tripping over my bridge?" roared the troll.
"It is I, the big billy goat Gruff," said the billy goat, who had an ugly, hoarse voice of his own.
"I am coming to gobble you up," roared the troll. "Come along. I've got two spears, and I'll poke your eyeballs out of your ears. I've got beside two curling stones, and I'll crush you to bits, body and bones," said the largest billy goat.
That was what the big billy goat said, and then he flew at the troll and poked out his eyes with his horns and crushed him to bits, body and bones, and tossed him into the cascade, and after that he went up to the hillside. There the billy goats got so fat they were scarcely able to walk home again, and if the fat hasn't fallen off them, why, they're still fat. And so, snip, snap, snout, this tale is told out. Our next story is Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Goldilocks and the Three Bears was originally entitled The Story of the Three Bears, published in a collection of English fairy tales, retold by Flora Annie Steele in 1922, and illustrated by author Rockham. We hope you think that it's not too hot, not too cold, but just right. Once upon a time, there were three bears who lived together in a house of their own in a wood. One of them was a little wee bear, and one of them was a mid-sized bear, and the other was a great big bear. They each had a bowl for their porridge, a little bowl for the wee bear, a mid-sized bowl for the middle-sized bear, and a great big bowl for the great big bear. And they each had a chair to sit in, a little chair for the wee little bear, a mid-sized chair for the middle-sized bear, and a great big chair for the great big bear. And they each had a bed to sleep in, a little bed for the little wee bear, a middle-sized bed for the middle-sized bear, and a great big bed for the great big bear. One day, after they had made the porridge for their breakfast and poured it into their porridge bowls, they walked out into the woods while the porridge was cooling, that they might not burn their mouths by beginning too soon, for they were polite, well-brought-up bears. And while they were away, a little girl called Goldilocks, who lived at the other side of the wood, had been sent on an errand by her mother
passed by the house and looked in at the windows, and then she peeped in at the keyhole, for she was not a well-brought-up little girl. Then, seeing nobody in the house, she lifted the latch. The door was not fastened because the bears were good bears, who did nobody any harm, and never suspected that anybody would harm them. So Goldilocks opened the door and went in, and well pleased was she when she saw the porridge on the table. If she had been well brought up, little girl, she would have waited till the bears came home, and then perhaps they would have asked her to breakfast, for they were good bears, a little rough or so, as the manner of bears is, but for all that, very good-natured and hospitable. But she was imprudent, rude little girl, and so she set about helping herself. First, she tasted the porridge of the great big bear, and that was too hot for her. Next, she tasted the porridge of the middle-sized bear, but that was too cold for her. And then she went to the porridge of the little wee bear, and tasted it. And that was neither too hot nor too cold, but just right. And she liked it so well that she ate it all up, every bit. Then Goldilocks, who was tired, for she had been catching butterflies instead of running on her errand, sat down in the chair of the great big bear, but that was too hard for her. And then she sat down in a chair of the middle-sized bear, but that was too soft for her. But when she sat down in the chair of the little wee bear, that was neither too hard nor too soft, but just right. So she seated herself in it, and there she sat till the bottom of the chair came out, and came down she came, plop, upon the ground, and that made her very cross, for she was a bad-tempered little girl. Now, being determined to rest, Goldilocks went upstairs into the bedchamber in which the three bears slept, and first she lay down on the bed of the great big bear, but it was too high at the head for her. And next, she lay down upon the bed of the middle-sized bear, and that was too high at the foot for her. And then she lay down upon the bed of the little wee bear, and that was neither too high at the head nor at the foot, but just right. So she covered herself up comfortably and lay there till she fell fast asleep. By the time the three bears thought their porridge would be cool enough for them to eat it properly, so they came home to breakfast. Now, careless, Goldilocks had left the spoon of the big bear standing in the porridge. "Somebody has ate my porridge," said the great big bear in his great gruff voice. Then the mid-sized bear looked at his porridge and saw the spoon was standing in it too. "Somebody's ate my porridge," said the mid-sized bear in his mid-sized voice. Then the little wee bear looked at his, and there was a spoon in the porridge bowl, but the porridge was all gone. "Somebody has been eating my porridge and has eaten it all up," said the little wee bear in his little wee voice. Upon this, the three bears, seeing that someone had entered their house and eaten up the little wee bear's breakfast, began to look about. Now, the careless Goldilocks had not put the hard cushions straight when she rose from the chair of the great big bear. "Someone's been sitting in my chair," said the great big bear in his great rough voice. And the careless Goldilocks had squatted down on the soft cushion of the mid-sized bear. "Somebody's been sitting in my chair," said the mid-sized bear in his mid-sized voice. "Somebody's been sitting in my chair and has set the bottom through," said the little wee bear in his little wee voice. Then the three bears thought they had better make further search in case it was a burglar. So they went upstairs into their bedchamber. Now Goldilocks had pulled the pillow of the great big bear out of place. "Somebody's been lying in my bed," said the great big bear in his great rough voice. And Goldilocks had pulled the bolster of the mid-sized bear out of place. "Somebody's been lying on my bed," said the mid-sized bear in his mid-sized voice. But when the little wee bear came to look at his bed, there was a bolster in
in its place, and the pillow was in its place upon the bolster. And upon the pillow, there was Goldilocks's yellow head, which was not in its place, for she had no business there.
"Somebody's been lying in my bed, and here she is still," said the little wee bed in a bear in his little wee voice.
Now Goldilocks had heard in her sleep that great gruff voice of the great big bear, but she was so fast asleep that it was no more to her than the roaring of the wind or the rumbling of thunder. And she had heard the middle-sized bear in the middle-sized voice, but it was only as if she had heard someone speaking in a dream. But when she heard the little wee voice of the little wee bear, it was so sharp and so shrill that it awakened her at once. Up she started, and when she saw the three bears on one side of the bed, she tumbled herself out on the other and ran to the window. Now the window was open, because the bears, like good tidy bears as they were, always opened their bedchamber window when they got up in the morning. So naughty, frightened little Goldilocks jumped, and whether she broke her neck in the fall, or ran into the woods and was lost there, or found her way out of the woods and got whipped for being a bad girl and playing taunt, no one can say, but the three little bears never saw anything more of her. The end. Up next, we have Little Red Riding Hood. This story was featured in Favorite Fairy Tales and Short Stories for Children. You may want to compare it to the Brothers Grimm version, Little Red Cap. Once upon a time, there was a dear little girl who was loved by everyone who looked at her, but most of all by her grandmother, and there was nothing that she would not have given the child. Once she gave her a little red cap of velvet, which suited her so well that she would never wear anything else. So she was always called Little Red Riding Hood. One day, her mother said to her, "Come, Little Red Riding Hood, here is a piece of cake and a bottle of wine. Take them to your grandmother. She is ill and weak, and they will do her good. Set out before it gets hot, and when you are going, walk nicely and quietly, and do not run off the path, or you may fall and break the bottle, and then your grandmother will get nothing. And when you go into her room, don't forget to say good morning, and don't peep into every corner before you do it." "I will take great care," said Little Red Riding Hood to her mother, and gave her hand on it. The grandmother lived out in the wood, half a league from the village, and just as Little Red Riding Hood entered the wood, a wolf met her. Little Red Riding Hood did not know what a wicked creature he was, and was not at all afraid of him. "Good day, Little Red Riding Hood," he said.
"Thank you kindly, wolf."
"Whither away so early, Little Red Riding Hood?"
"To my grandmother's."
"What have you got in your apron?"
"Cake and wine. Yesterday was baking day, so poor sick grandmother is to have something good to make her stronger."
"Where does your grandmother live, Little Red Riding Hood?"
"A good quarter of a league further on in the woods. Her house stands under the three large oak trees. The nut tree are just below. You surely must know it," replied Little Red Riding Hood.
The wolf thought to himself, "What a tender young creature. What a nice plump mouthful. She will be better to eat than that old woman. I must act craftily so as to catch both."
So he walked a short time by the side of Little Red Riding Hood, and then he said, "See, Little Red Riding Hood, how pretty the flowers are about. Why do you not look around? I believe, too, that you do not hear how sweetly the little birds are singing. You walk gravely along as if you were going to school, while everything else out here in the wood is merry." Little Red Riding Hood was raising her eyes, and when she saw the sunbeams dancing here and there through the trees, and the pretty flowers growing everywhere, she thought, "Suppose I take Grandmother a fresh nosegay. That would please her. It is so early in the day that I shall still get there in good time." And so she ran from the path into the woods to look for flowers. And whenever she had picked one, she fancied that she saw a still prettier one further on and ran after it, and so got deeper and deeper into the woods. Meanwhile, the wolf ran straight to Grandmother's house and knocked on the door.
"Who is there?"
"Little Red Riding Hood," replied the wolf. "She is bringing cake and wine. Open the door."
"Lift the latch," called out Grandmother. "I am too weak and cannot get up."
The wolf lifted the latch, the door sprung open, and without saying a word, he went straight to the grandmother's bed and devoured her. Then he put on her clothes and dressed himself in her cap and laid himself on the bed and drew the curtains. Little Red Riding Hood, however, had been running about picking flowers, and when she had gathered so many that she could carry no more, she remembered her grandmother and set out on her way. She was surprised to find the cottage door standing open, and when she went into the room, she had such a strange feeling that she said to herself, "Oh dear, how uneasy I feel today, and at other times, I like being with grandmother so much." She called out, "Good morning," but received no answer, so she went to the bed and drew back the curtains. There lay her grandmother with a cap pulled over her face and looking very strange.
"Oh, grandmother, what big ears you have."
"The better to hear you with, my child," was the reply.
"But, grandmother, what big eyes you have," she said.
"The better to see you with, my dear."
"But, grandmother, what large hands you have."
"The better to hug you with."
"Oh, but, grandmother, what a terrible big mouth you have."
"The better to eat you with." And scarcely had the wolf said this, than with one bound he was out of bed and swallowed up Little Red Riding Hood. When the wolf had appeased his appetite and laid down again in the bed and fell asleep and began to snore very loudly, the huntsman was just passing the house and thought to himself, "How the old woman is snoring. I must just see if she wants anything." So he went to the room, and when he came to the bed, he saw the wolf was lying in it. "Do I find you here, you old sinner?" he said. "I have long sought you out." Then, just as he was going to fire at him, it occurred to him that the wolf might have devoured the grandmother, and that she might still be saved. So he did not fire, but he took a pair of scissors and began to cut open the stomach of the sleeping wolf. When he had made two snips, he saw Little Red Riding Hood shining, and then he made two more snips, and the little girl sprang out crying, "Oh, how frightened I have been! It was dark inside the wolf." And after that, the aged grandmother came out alive also, but scarcely able to breathe. Little Red Riding Hood, however, quickly fetched great stones with which they filled the wolf's belly. And when he woke, he wanted to run away, but the stones were so heavy that he collapsed at once and fell dead. Then all three were delighted. The huntsmen drew off the wolf's skin and went home with it. The grandmother ate the cake and drank the wine which Little Red Riding Hood had brought and revived. But Little Red Riding Hood thought to herself, "As long as I live, I will never by myself leave the path to run into the woods when my mother has forbidden me to do so." It is also related that once, when Little Red Riding Hood was again taking cakes to her old grandmother, another wolf spoke to her and tried to entice her from the path. Little Red Riding Hood, however, was on her guard and went straight forward on her way and told her grandmother that she had met the wolf and that he had said good morning to her, but with such a wicked look in his eyes that if they had not been on a public road, she was certain he would have eaten her up. "Well," said the grandmother, "we will shut the door and he may not come in." Soon afterwards, the wolf knocked and cried, "Open the door, grandmother. I am Little Red Riding Hood, and I'm bringing you some cakes." But they did not speak or open the door, so the great beard stole twice and thrice around the house, and at last jumped on the roof, intending to wait until Little Red Riding Hood went home in the evening, and then to steal after her and devour her in the darkness. But the grandmother saw that this was his thoughts. In front of the house was a great stone trough. So she said to the child, "Take a pail, Little Red Riding Hood. I made some sausages yesterday, so carry the water in which I boiled them to the trough." Little Red Riding Hood carried until the trough was quite full. Then
The smell of sausages reached the wolf, and he sniffed and peeped down, and at last stretched out his neck so far that he could no longer keep his footing and began to slip, and slipped down the roof and straight into the great trough, and was drowned. But little Red Riding Hood went joyously home, and no one ever did anything to harm her again. The end. Our final story for the evening is going to be The Gingerbread Man. Once upon a time, there was a little old farm. Horses, pigs, and chickens lived on this big old farm, and they were well looked after by a little old man and a little old woman who lived in the farmhouse. Every morning, the old man gave some carrots, lettuce, and hay to the horses, pigs, and chickens, and they were happy. On this particular morning, as the old man went outside to give the horses, pigs, and chickens their carrots, lettuce, and hay, while the little old woman went to the kitchen to look in her very special and magic cookbook. Up, up, up she stretched to get the book down from the shelf and put it on the kitchen table. The old book belonged to her mum, and her mum, mums before that, and her mum's mums, mums before that, and her mom's mums, 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 and a long, long time ago. She decided to open the book and slowly turned the pages. One page, jumping bananas. Page two, flying pizzas. Page three, spaghetti. What a crazy cookbook. Stopping on page four, she read the title, Running Biscuits, and smiled. Running biscuits, she laughed. They looked great. I like biscuits. No, I love biscuits. Mix, mix, mixing, the old woman started to cook. Stir, stir, stirring, she added sugar and flour and continued cooking. Mixing and mixing, stirring and stirring, the old woman didn't stop. She added some butter and eggs and kept mixing and mixed in some special ginger. The old woman took a handful of dough to make a little gingerbread man. She made a leg, and then another leg, a stomach, two arms, and a head. She made a little nose, an eye, and then a second eye, and a mouth, and a big smiling mouth. Then, from the sweet jar, she took a red sweet, a blue sweet, a yellow sweet, and placed them on the gingerbread man's tummy to make colorful buttons for him. She pushed the yellow sweet into place and put everything in the hot oven and waited. When the old woman opened the door, the gingerbread man jumped out and ran across the magic cookbook. He started dancing on page four, just below the title, Running Biscuits, and laughed at the old woman. I'm a running biscuit, and you won't eat me because you can't catch me, he laughed. Stop, stop, little gingerbread man, cried the little old woman. The old woman tried to stop the gingerbread man, but he could run very fast. He ran under the table, over the chairs, and out the kitchen door before the old woman could catch him. The gingerbread man stopped at the door and saying to the old woman, run, run, as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. By the time the old man was coming back to the house after feeding the horses, pigs, and chickens, and could see the gingerbread man running across the garden. Catch the gingerbread man, shouted the old woman to the old man. Run and catch him. Run and catch him. Catch me, ha ha, laughed the gingerbread man. The old man has got two legs, but I've got two new legs. The gingerbread man started to shake his right leg and then his left leg while he ran and ran around the old man, singing his taunt. Run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. When he finished singing his song, the gingerbread man ran under the old man's legs and out into the farmyard. Catch the gingerbread man, shouted the old man to the pigs. You've got all four legs and can run fast. Run and catch him, run and catch him. The pigs saw the gingerbread man and tried to eat him. Oink, oink, stop, little gingerbread man. I want to eat you, said one little pig. But the gingerbread man simply jumped on the pig's back and ran from his head to his tail, singing, run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man. While all the other pigs ran around and around, squealing and oinking. The gingerbread man ran into the chicken coop where the chickens began to fly about above the gingerbread man, looking down on him as he ran through the eggs on the floor below. Catch the gingerbread man, shouted the old man to the chickens. You've all got two wings and can fly. Fly down and catch him. Fly down and catch the gingerbread man.
But the gingerbread man laughed at the chickens tried to fly down at him. "Cluck, cluck," they said. "Stop, little gingerbread man. We want to eat you." Jumping over and under and around and between the big eggs, the gingerbread man said, "Fly, fly, as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man." And he was right. The chickens couldn't catch the gingerbread man. The gingerbread man was running past the horses. "Nay, stop, little gingerbread man," said the big brown horse. "I want to eat you." But the gingerbread man didn't stop running, and the horse couldn't catch him. All the old woman, the man, the pigs, the chicken, the horses could do was watch as the gingerbread man ran out of the farm singing, "Run, run, as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man." A police officer was walking past the farm and stopped and listened. He could hear the horses neighing and the chickens clucking and the pigs oinking and the old woman and the old man shouting. The police officer went to look at what was going on, but he was also hungry and he saw the gingerbread man running towards him, and he put out his whistle and in his mouth and blew, "Woo, woo, stop, little gingerbread man," he said. "I want to eat you." "Sorry, I will not stop for you to eat me," said the gingerbread man. "So run, run, as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man." Away from the farm, the gingerbread man was about to run past the office worker who was eating a sandwich. The office worker looked at the gingerbread man and said, "Hello, hello, stop, little gingerbread man. I want to eat you." Again, the gingerbread man didn't stop. He just looked at his shoulder and saying, "Run, run, as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man." And so the gingerbread man continued to run and run and run until he arrived at the river. A fox came out from behind a tree and smiled at the gingerbread man. He wanted to eat the gingerbread man, but had a clever plan. "Hello, little gingerbread man. You've stopped running. Can you swim across the river?" asked the fox. "No, I can't swim," said the gingerbread man. "I can run very fast. I can run faster than the old woman. I can run faster than the old man. I can run faster than the pigs, the chickens, and the horses. I can run faster than the police officer and the office worker, but I cannot swim." "I don't want to eat you, but I can help you," said the fox. "Climb on my tail, and we can swim across the river together." And so the gingerbread man did what the fox wanted. "Oh, no," said the fox as the water got deep. "I think it's going to be a good idea for you to climb onto my back." So the gingerbread man climbed on the fox's back. "Oh, no," said the fox. "The water is very deep. I think it is a good idea if you climb onto my nose." So the gingerbread man climbed on the fox's nose. The gingerbread man's legs were now nearly in the fox's mouth, and the fox could almost taste the lovely gingerbread, and he liked gingerbread very much. He was about to take a bite when the old woman pulled the fox's tail from behind. The fox cried out, "Ouch!" and threw the gingerbread man up into the air. The gingerbread man was flying through the air, up, 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 then down, down, down he fell and waited to splash into the cold river water. But the splash didn't come. Instead, he felt five fingers around his tummy, and before long, he was looking into the eyes of the old woman. "Don't eat me, don't eat me," said the gingerbread man cried as he got closer and closer to the old woman's mouth. The old woman closed her mouth and put her lips together and gave the gingerbread man a kiss on his forehead. You see, the pigs, the chickens, the horse, the police officer, the office worker, and especially the fox all wanted to eat the gingerbread man, but the little old lady didn't. "No, no," she said, "I don't want to eat you. I made you because I wanted a baby. I wanted a fast and strong baby boy like you," and she kissed him again. The fox ran back behind the tree, and the old woman and the gingerbread man went back to the kitchen to the big old farmhouse. The old woman started to cook again, and she was cooking. She sang louder and louder over the same song. "I'm making a gingerbread house with a gingerbread floor and a gingerbread door, the gingerbread stairs and the gingerbread chairs and the gingerbread toys for my gingerbread boy." In a short time, the old lady had made a beautiful gingerbread house with four windows, two doors, a bedroom, and a living room. Inside the house, there were tables and chairs and a big soft sofa. And in this, the gingerbread house, the little gingerbread man lived happily ever after. The end. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Reading the Classics. We hope to see you next week.